This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, July 22nd. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. It's great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, on Thursdays, we're always remembering the institution of the Holy Eucharist by our Lord Jesus Christ on Holy Thursday. Today is also the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, known as the Apostle to the Apostles, the first witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with just a day to go before the opening ceremonies of the Tokyo Summer Olympics, the American delegation has arrived in Tokyo, including First Lady Jill Biden. The U.S. women's softball team shut out Canada 1-0 for their second straight Olympic win. And we'll have much more on the Summer Olympics in the days to come. Now, coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Father Joe D'Amico of the Archdiocese of Newark, New Jersey, to talk about today's feast, the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. We'll also discuss the financial markets, inflation, and COVID with Chad Garcia, Vice President of Schwartz Investment Counsel. A little later this hour, Danielle Bean, the brand manager for CatholicMom.com, will talk to us about finding God in everyday life. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. As you know, we always start each hour and every day giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, in this year of Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit, the executive producer of this show, whenever we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Revelation 3:20. Our Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to hear his voice, to knock. He knocks on the doors of our hearts, inviting us to sup with him, that is, to eat his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. Christ desires that close intimacy with us, the faithful. Do we really take advantage of this gift of love, of his true presence, substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacred host under the appearance of bread and wine in the most holy Eucharist? Our U.S. bishops are calling for a Eucharistic revival next year. Let us begin. Let us start today by opening the door of our hearts and letting our Lord Jesus feed us with the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. And we always finish praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as I mentioned earlier at the top of the show today, the Catholic Church celebrates the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene, the first person to encounter the risen Christ, known as the Apostle to the Apostles. Many of us, of course, have heard the name Mary Magdalene, but how much do we really know about her? If we take a closer look at this faithful follower of Christ, we can learn so much more and be challenged by her courage and faithful devotion to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And joining us now to talk about St. Mary Magdalene is Father Joseph D'Amico, the pastor of Our Lady of the Lake in Verona, New Jersey, and the director of prison ministry for the Archdiocese of Newark. Good morning, Father Joe. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's a joy to be with you for the first time here on the show.
Thanks, John. Good morning. It is a pleasure to meet you, too.
Absolutely. And this is a great opportunity to talk about today's saint, today's feast day, Mary Magdalene. Talk to us about how Magdalene was really not her second name. Why do we refer to her as Saint Mary Magdalene?
Sure. I think a lot of people, well, before we do a deep dive into St. Mary Magdalene, I think the first thing I'd like to share with your listeners is that we know Mary Magdalene is probably one of the most, other than Our Lady, one of the most popular female biblical characters of all time, but also one of the most misunderstood. And with that being said, so many folks, I think, believe that the word or a part of her name, Magdalene, is her surname, her last name, and it's not. Scripture tells us she's from a city, a place, a town called Magdala. So she is Mary of Magdala, or in how it translates today in contemporary English, Mary Magdalene, Maria Magdalena in the Romance languages. That sounds prettier in the Romance languages, doesn't it? But yeah, Magdalene, it just refers to the area and from which she comes.
When you think about Mary Magdalene, she was so special. The fact that out of all the women that were with our Lord day in and day out during his ministry while he was with us, she was the one who first saw him after the resurrection.
Yeah, and even when you rewind a little bit, it's Mary who never gave up on Jesus. You know, we hear about so much imperfect faith of the 12 apostles. You know, Peter who denied, Thomas who doubted, Judas who betrayed, of course. But once Mary had that encounter with our Lord, she was all in and she never gave up. We don't know. Well, Scripture gives us a few hints about her past and what her life was like pre-encounter with Jesus, but doesn't go into details and specifics. We know that she was delivered from seven demons. What were those seven demons? We don't know. We can only speculate. Another common misconception that we have of Mary Magdalene is that she was a prostitute. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that she was. Does it mean she wasn't? Not necessarily, but that's just a game of scriptural, as I would call it, connect the dots. But Mary Magdalene is such an important figure in Scripture because for us today to call her the apostle to the apostles is huge. And it's because, one, she never gave up. Two, the first to have this witness of our risen Lord and the instruction of her from our Lord, don't cling to me, go tell Peter, go tell the others. So she was the first evangelizer of the risen Lord.
Absolutely. And Father Joe, I think that there has been a lot of misunderstanding over the centuries by people that improperly mistake Mary Magdalene as being that unnamed sinful woman who anointed the feet of Jesus in Luke 7:36. And yet, as you said, you know, most scripture scholars say there's really no basis for this confusion between the two women.
Yeah, and I think that the thing with that is that, especially as we get toward the end of the earthly life of our Lord, there's a lot of Marys that are mentioned, and I think that's part of the confusion and the discrepancy of it. I'm just your average, ordinary parish priest. I'll let the scripture theologians, I'll let them battle that one out. But for me, suffice it to say, I'm going to go by with what Scripture has already told us, and there's really not enough evidence on the surface level to connect Mary with those other women in the Scriptures.
Father Joe, the real Mary Magdalene traveled with our Lord Jesus and the disciples. And back then, it was not socially accepted for women to participate in those type of activities with men. Can you talk a little bit about how she supported his ministry while with the Lord?
Yeah, sure. And again, we don't know a lot about her past. Scripture only drops a couple of hints. We suspect that she was a woman of significant means because she was able to, as the scripture says, support and follow the apostles and support them from her means. So obviously she had means with which to support them. feast day, not memorial, I'll get to that, is so important. And so important in the mind of the for the church today, and in the mind of Pope Francis, that the celebration was raised from a memorial in 2016 to that of a feast. That's a higher ranking celebration. The only thing above a feast would be a solemnity. So today is really important. And I don't know the mind of Pope Francis, but at a time when we want everybody to pick up their role and not be impeded by anything in the work of evangelization and in the work of spreading and living the gospel life, Mary Magdalene does present a great model and example. Why? Because, one, she is a female, and we know that females in Scripture in biblical times did not have significant roles. Mary's one of those, is the only woman in Scripture. She's not named by a backup. We don't know her husband if she had one. We don't know much about her family background. Mary's name stands alone, and I think that's really important. And such an important role model for us, because think about it. She saw the risen Lord. She didn't recognize him, and she follows the instruction of the risen Jesus. Go and tell Peter. Where were they? They were in the upper room. And I love the early Easter season Gospels, because everybody who has that encounter with Jesus, Jesus sends them right to the upper room, and I always connect the upper room with church. So even Mary, she brought her non-recognition of Jesus right to church. So despite the fact that she had a lot of things going against her, whatever those seven demons that she was battling with, her gender kept her away from significant roles. But Jesus saw through that, and the encounter that Jesus gave her, that relationship, that power, that fierceness of faith and evangelization, she didn't keep it. She didn't hoard it selfishly, but she followed the words of our Lord. She brought it to church, and we know that she was a fierce follower of Jesus Christ.
We're joined by Father Joe D'Amico, the pastor of Our Lady of the Lake in Verona, New Jersey, and the director of prison ministry for the Archdiocese of Newark, talking about today's feast, St. Mary Magdalene, and looking at the life of St. Mary Magdalene. When I think of St. Mary Magdalene, Father Joe, I can't help but think of her crying and emotional, meeting the Lord for the first time and not realizing, she didn't even recognize him. She thought he was the gardener, but she was so caught up with emotion because she loved him so deeply. Talk about that great love that she had every step of the way, even after she discovers the risen Lord.
Yeah. Let's rewind that for just a moment. What was happening right before that encounter? We know, following the rules and the norms and the protocol of what any good Jew would have done, Jesus was placed in the tomb quickly because of the Passover, because of the Sabbath. So now it's time to pick up where they left off. Jesus had died. It was a bloody, murderous death, as we know, a torturous death. The body of our Lord was bruised so very badly. Before we talk about Mary Magdalene, where was Peter? Where was Thomas? Where was Judas at that point? Just to name a few. Even John, who was at the foot of the cross, John the beloved apostle, even he wasn't there and privileged to be the first witness. Mary was. And I think one of the greatest gifts, in addition, of course, to healing and deliverance and the exorcising of the seven demons, Mary, perhaps for the first time in her life, was noticed. Jesus noticed her. And not just noticed her, but equipped her to be something special and important and awesome in the kingdom of God. And that noticing was so important. So is it any wonder that she was so overcome with grief and mourning that when she sees the risen Lord, keeping in mind the last time she saw him, Jesus was a bruised and bloody mess, that she wouldn't recognize him?
Father Joe, and you talk about the instructions that our Lord gave to St. Mary Magdalene to go out and spread the word everywhere that he is risen.
Sure. And again, go out and spread the word immediately to whom and to where. And the scriptures are very clear about it. Go and tell Peter. Go and tell the others. And where are they? They're still afraid. They're in that upper room. That door is still locked. Our risen Lord had not yet come to them. And what's even more interesting, they didn't believe her, you know? So they probably thought, oh, Mary, you're being hysterical. You know, oh, it can't be. These are the ones who heard the same preaching and sermons and witnessed the same miracles that, that Mary did. But and again, this is why I love the early Easter season, the Easter week gospel stories. And almost every day of the week, there's this appearance and there's the commission of Jesus. Or they go immediately to the where they're gathered, upper room. They go right to church. It always begins with church.
Father Joe, can you talk about some of the things that we can learn from Mary Magdalene about searching for God at every moment, the way that she searched for the Lord with such love and such passion?
Sure. See, for Mary, I think it all begins with an acknowledgement of what Jesus had done for her. And she received a tremendous gift of Jesus. Again, the awesome gift of having been delivered and healed from the seven demons, whatever those seven demons were. But the larger reality is that perhaps for the first time, I would think, because of her past and what she was battling with, she was noticed. And I think for all of us, whatever gift we've been given from our Lord, the work of evangelization is just as important now as it was the immediate post-resurrection time, perhaps even more when we see so much going on, so many confusions that are going on. Someone to preach and to teach and evangelize with the truth and from our own experience. So I think Mary Magdalene teaches us, don't let anything get in the way. Whatever you've received from Jesus, if you feel blessed, if you've been given a gift, don't hoard it and don't keep it a secret. But bring it to church, bring it to the others, and from there, let it spread out to all the world. And I think that the gift that Jesus gives us, step number one, I don't know how many steps there are, but I'll just say step number one, start in church. Bring it to the Eucharist. Bring it to the table. Bring it to the community. Bring it to the gathering of faith. And from there, let it filter out and stretch out to the larger church and community at large.
As you alluded to, Mary Magdalene, it represents women. And in this day and age, there's been so much talk about how women are not represented in our church as much as they should be. But the reality is that she is a great role model for all women. I mean, other than the Blessed Mother, there's no other female with a more prominent role than St. Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's her what was her memorial, but her feast day is now elevated to the level of feast. So we really need to perk up and pay attention for every. I love the saints, and I can't wait to celebrate Mass in a few minutes. And I'm so excited to preach on Mary Magdalene. But to go from memorial to feast, again, the only thing above a feast is a solemnity. Those are the big guns. You know, that's heavy duty, but. Why? Because Mary even transcends the role of women in the church, transcends everyone who's just for their place and their commission for ministry, not just place in the church, but everything that Jesus gives to us is meant to be given back, and it's meant to be shared. And Mary teaches us, Mary Magdalene teaches us, there should be no boundaries or limits in what our Lord is asking us to do.
Father Joe, as you prepare to give your homily here for the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene, one final thought on this great saint that we have today.
Sure. Well, I actually hope that my parishioners are not listening to this because they're gonna hear something similar at 8:30 this morning. But I would say the final thoughts is Mary Magdalene, apostle to the apostles. Whatever it is that God has given to us, that commission of her and go to the upper room and bring it to others, at a time when so many, even what self-defined faithful Catholics, are not going to church, bring your gifts, bring your doubt, bring your non-recognition of Jesus. And for a half a second, let's talk about Peter's and Thomas's doubt and betrayal and denial and all of that. Bring it all to church and let the Holy Spirit stir it up, bless it, and make it holy. And Mary Magdalene teaches us that not only did she bring her experience of the risen Lord, she also brought her brokenness, her non-recognition of the risen Lord. She brought that that doubt right to church.
I think the fact that St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest theologians in the history of our church, gave her that title, the Apostle to the Apostles, I think that says a lot.
Absolutely.
Well, Father Joe, it's been a joy to be with you here for the first time to talk about the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Father Joe D'Amico, the pastor of Our Lady of the Lake in Verona, New Jersey, and the director of prison ministry for the Archdiocese of Newark. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss the financial markets, inflation, and COVID with Chad Garcia, vice president of Schwartz Investment Counsel. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
27 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to switch gears. On this show, we go from St. Mary Magdalene to talking about money in any given program. And how many of you are currently investing in the markets, possibly with risky assets? How can we develop a safe portfolio in the current economic climate with higher inflation and what some experts are saying is a bubble just ready to pop? Now joining us is Chad Garcia to discuss the markets, inflation, and COVID-19. Chad is Vice President of Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., the lead portfolio manager of the Ave Maria Focused Fund and co-portfolio manager of the Ave Maria Growth Fund, and is also responsible for equity research functions for the firm. Good morning, Chad. Welcome to Morning Air. Great to be with you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Chad, before we talk about the great work of the Ave Maria funds, what is happening in the markets with the current inflation? Do you think that the bubble is ready to pop, as some financial experts are saying? What should our listeners be focusing on?
Well, I think they should be focusing on investing for the long term. I mean, if you have a long time horizon, then you should focus on is staying in the market and sticking with your plan. If you invest twice a month when you get your paycheck, you should continue to do so, if you have a long time horizon.
What do you think, in what ways do you think inflation is impacting, is affecting the average American in our daily lives?
Well, I mean, we are seeing substantial inflation right now, which makes sense, given that we've had massive fiscal support from the government. We have supply chain issues with restarting an economy. The question is it going to be transitory or is it structural? If it's structural, the Federal Reserve is going to have to step in and raise interest rates. I think there's arguments for both cases. And the way that we deal with it, at least in the Focus Fund and the Growth Funds, which I'm a part of, is we look for companies that have two attributes. One attribute would be the ability to raise prices, and the second attribute would be companies that generate a high return on invested capital, which means they don't require much capital to grow their businesses. And if we have a performance...
Looks like we may have lost our connection with Chad Garcia, the vice president and lead portfolio manager for AVX and co-portfolio manager for the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. We're talking about the market, inflation, and COVID-19, discussing some of the things that we can do as we take a look at our approaches in this current economy. We started talking about how it's important to take a look at the big picture and look at planning for the long term. Because a lot of people really feel like this inflation is really affecting their lives. It's a real thing, especially, you know, all you got to do is go to the gas station to put gas in your car, and you can see the difference in prices from this summer of 2021 to last summer. So inflation is not just something theoretical. It's something that people are experiencing at the gas pumps, at the grocery store, at restaurants, everywhere. Chad, are you back with us?
I'm back with you.
Oh, great, great, great. No problem. Hey, these things happen in live radio sometimes with technology. Chad, do you think this inflation situation, and as I was saying just, you know, while we were getting you back on, that this is not, you know, theory. This is real. People are experiencing this when they put gas in their car, when they go to the store, and in so many different ways. Do you think this is something temporary, or is it here to stay?
I think that there are valid arguments for both cases. And so if you look at our family of funds, I have colleagues in a couple of the funds who last year, when the government increased their fiscal stimulus, got more exposure to some commodity products like oil, which you mentioned, because gas prices have went up. And they've done quite well with that. And with respect to the two funds I manage, we focus on companies that can raise their prices and generate a high return on invested capital. And if they have the ability to raise their prices, if we do have inflation that's going to be structural, then they can theoretically raise their prices to deal with that. So that's how we protect ourselves.
Well,
our investors.
I think that that's so important. And tell us a little bit about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds.
So the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is the largest Catholic mutual funds family in the country. We have six funds and of various strategies, and we practice what we call morally responsible investing. So we do not invest in companies that violate the teachings of the Catholic faith, specifically companies that are involved in the production and distribution of pornography, contraception, participate in abortion or donate to Planned Parenthood, or participate in embryonic stem cell research. And we have a zero tolerance policy for the companies that are in those activities. We call these companies offenders. We won't invest, even if their activity is a small part of their business, we will not invest in them.
This is so important for us as Catholics, this whole concept of morally responsible investing. A lot of folks are not even plugged in. They have no idea what other companies are investing their funds in. Where do you think that Ave Maria came up with this approach that in many ways is unique within the industry?
Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza, had a close relationship with the founder of our firm, and he went to him and pitched creating a family of mutual funds that Catholics could invest in good conscience. And that was the genesis for the firm. I think Tom tried to do it directly by hiring some people directly to work under him and do it. And what he found was they kept putting in offenders in the portfolio. So he ended up talking George Schwartz into starting Ave Maria Mutual Funds in 2000, and we're up to about $3 billion in assets.
Absolutely outstanding. No, Tom Monahan, and I know he has such a heart for the teachings of our faith, so this totally makes sense. If you want to be part of this conversation, you have a comment or question for our financial expert, Chad Garcia, or if you're currently investing in the market, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. As an organization that invests in these morally responsible funds, what are some of the key factors that you look at in determining whether or not to make a certain investment?
Well, we look at several factors when analyzing a business, but if I can just distill it down into two quick ones. First, we look at if a company is likely to generate an acceptable return for our shareholders. And in that, there's a bunch of research that we do, and we spend hours and hours pouring through the financials of a company before we would make an investment decision. And then secondly, we look to see if they pass our moral screens. And again, we have a zero tolerance policy on companies that violate our screens.
What about the pandemic? How has that affected our economy over the last year and a half, and especially this most recent Delta variant? Has it? You think it's caused setbacks?
Well, when the pandemic first started, what we saw was that top quartile workers did quite well. And that makes sense, as those top quartile wage earners were able to make the transition to work from home. You know, plus they were saving money, not going on vacations and not going out to eat as much. And so they became their bank accounts became pretty flush with cash. The middle 50 wage earners did all right. The bottom quartile wage earners struggled, but you know, the government has stepped up and provided extended unemployment benefits. Now that we're coming out of the pandemic, I think that the continuation of these unemployment benefits is causing shortages in certain areas. I'm on a business trip. I've been here since Sunday. I mean, it's anecdotal evidence, but I haven't had maid service all week, which is fine. I can make my own bed, but you know, I think the shortage of workers, at least in the hotels, is getting the maids to only clean rooms that are where people are checking out. Back to your question regarding the Delta variant, I think it's a little too early to tell, but I'm optimistic that it's not going to be that big of an issue. If you look at the hospitalizations, only 5% of current hospitalizations for COVID in the U.S. are people that have had both vaccinations. And so this is a much different time than, you know, March of 2020. We have therapeutics available. We have vaccines available. I'm sure booster shots will become available. Doctors have learned how to treat COVID better. So I don't think it's going to be an issue where we need to reshut down the economy.
Can you talk about Catholic consumers and their values, how they've received being a part of the Ave Maria Mutual Funds?
Well, let's talk about Catholic consumers and the impact on companies in general first. We've tracked, since 2000, 35 companies that had previously donated to Planned Parenthood, which ceased donating to Planned Parenthood. And I assume that is from pressure of consumers. You know, at Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we can't take full credit for that, but I think we can take a little bit of credit for that. And then I think that's a good outcome.
Were these Catholic-run companies?
No, these are publicly traded companies.
Well, that's outstanding. I mean, that makes Ave Maria is making a difference.
And if you take that back to our investors invest with us for, you know, more than one reason. You know, one reason is they want an acceptable return to fund their retirement. The other reason is because they believe in the values that we hold dear at the mutual funds. And I've noticed our investors tend to be a little stickier, which means they don't, you know, trade in and out of our funds as much. And that, I think, is to their benefit, because trading too much is one of the cardinal sins in investing.
Chad, we have a caller. Jim is with us from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Jim, welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. The question is, I have two questions. Number one, can you give us a couple of examples of offenders? Because I think a lot of people try to buy stocks for their own portfolio, and I'm just curious if you have a couple of names that you might be able to give us that you would definitely stay away from no matter what. And then the second question is really on a performance basis. If you were to look at, say, the 3 to 5 and the 10-year returns, are your funds significantly underperforming, say, benchmarks or comparable funds, or are your returns, you know, really right up there with some of the top other options that are available.
Thanks, Jim. Chad, we have about 90 seconds.
Sure. So one good example of an offender would be Amazon. And Amazon is a great business, but if you look at their products, they sell both contraception and pornography. So we would stay away from that. With respect to performance, I mean, we have various funds, but you know, several of them are performing in the top quartile of their categories. I think yesterday, the Focus Fund, which I run year to date, was in the top 19% of its category.
Chad, do you have a thought on that reality?
Well, if you look at our funds, that the growth fund, for example, the growth fund is compared to the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is in the last year was driven by the performance of the FANG stocks, many of which are violators due to pornography or contraception. And we finished 2020 neck and neck with the S&P in a year when the S&P's returns were driven by these offenders. And so I think if we can finish, you know, neck and neck with it in a year where the performance were driven by these offenders, you know, there's going to be times when their performance aren't going to be driven by the offenders. And, you know, what does that mean for our ability to pick stocks that are going to outperform in those years?
Well, Chad, thanks so much for being with us. And, of course, our listeners can go to AveMariaFunds.com for much more on the Ave Maria Focus Funds. Appreciate your expertise. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Many blessings to you. Chad Garcia, Vice President of Schwartz Investment Counsel, the lead portfolio manager for the Ave Maria Focused Fund. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Danielle Bean, the brand manager for CatholicMom.com, will be with us to talk about finding God in everyday life. Don't change that dial. Much more to come here on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
46 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for being with us this morning on the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Coming up a little bit later, we'll have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Do you ever feel like you just can't find God? What if He is waiting for you right exactly where you are? Danielle Bean encourages women of all stages of life to slow down and experience the little whispers of God that are present in everyday life. Danielle is a brand manager for CatholicMom.com. She's a speaker on a variety of subjects related to Catholic family life, homeschooling, marriage, and motherhood. She's also the author of Whisper, Finding God in the Everyday, and is the mother of eight who lives in New Hampshire. Good morning, Danielle. Welcome back to Morning Air. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, I love talking with you, too. Thanks for having me.
Danielle, tell us, why is it so hard to find God for some folks in everyday life, and what can we do to more intentionally do so?
Yeah, well, I think it's part of our modern culture is this idea of being busy as sort of a virtue. I think we kind of accept that as a culture, and it's crazy that being busy, always having noise in the background, always doing something, always producing something, is really part of our culture. It's something that our culture really values, and sometimes we can begin to feel like we earn our worth in that way, and yet all of this, pulls us away from the real presence of God in our everyday lives, the different ways that God wants to connect with us. If we're constantly filling our lives with noise, and there's always another app, another distraction, another form of social media, another piece of noise that you can insert into your life. But I really want to encourage people through this book, Whisper, to remove some of those busyness, some of those sources of noise and distraction in our lives, so that we can become aware of the fact that we don't need to do anything to find God, that He's here, He's present. We need to open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to His real presence in our everyday lives.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd like to invite our listeners, if you want to share how you find God in your everyday life, or you just want to share your experiences of seeking the Lord, or have a question or comment for Danielle Beam, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. As you were speaking, Danielle, the scripture verse came into my heart. Be still and know that I am God. How important is it for us to just be still and just listen? You shut everything off and just listen carefully.
Yeah, that is so vitally important. And I think, you know, if you don't know where to begin with it, I would say reflecting on that scripture passage, just repeating it, reading it over and over again and pondering it in your heart. It's a beautiful way to still yourself and to know that He is God. What does that mean? And, you know, there's such a richness and a beauty in the intimacy that we can find in our relationship with God. But it doesn't happen at the surface level. It doesn't happen instantaneously when you click on an icon on your phone. It doesn't work that way. So many times we need to retrain our brains. We need to retrain our hearts, our minds, our souls in the way that we connect with others in order to connect with the ever-present, everlasting God, because there's a real authenticity there that we don't always expect or don't always experience inside of our other relationships, even in our relationships with the people that we know and love most in the world. I think there's so much about our culture that encourages sort of a surface level connection that sometimes we're almost afraid of that deeper level of connection. So I think beginning with that scripture passage is a wonderful suggestion. Just be still and know that He is God. What does that mean? Answer that invitation just by simply being still and allowing Him to speak to your heart.
And Danielle, as a mom of eight, I'm sure you know firsthand how challenging it can be to slow down, especially during these summer months, and just try to listen to those little whispers of God here this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? Summertime also offers for many people an opportunity to experience God in new ways. You know, many places in the world this time of year are more temperate. There are beautiful sunny days, or you might have an opportunity to have a change in your routine during the summertime where you have more time to go for a walk during the lunch hour, or visit a lake, or another beautiful setting, take a hike in the woods. Or I think experiencing God through natural beauty is a wonderful way that we can encourage ourselves, and then also set the example for our families. Bring them along. Bring your kids on a hike in the woods and teach them that God is present there. Teach them that the beauty that we experience in the natural world is a reflection of the beauty of God and the vastness of God, and that when we're awestruck by something in nature that's beautiful, that's the kind of reverence and awe that we should be having toward our God. So all of these things can point us toward God, and I think summertime is actually a natural time to kind of reflect on that, those moments of stillness, more quiet. Yes, many times our routines shift, but then it opens up opportunities for things that maybe we wouldn't have the chance for other times of the year when school schedules are going full speed. But having those moments with your kids or by yourself when you can experience nature is really a beautiful way to experience the everyday presence of God, especially in the summertime.
There's another powerful verse by St. Paul in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That has inspired me over the years. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're a Catholic radio host or a sports reporter or a mom or a lawyer or a gardener, makes no difference what you do. If you do it for the Lord, you are seeking Him. You are connecting with Him. You are sanctifying your work if you do it for Him.
Absolutely. And I think that really is an important passage for us to reflect on, that those extraneous things don't matter so much. And sometimes we get so caught up in the details of those things. Like, I remember once I was discerning a really important, to me anyway, work decision, and I was praying over it, and I was fretting over it, I was anxious over it. And in a moment of prayer in that time, God really spoke to my heart and let me know it's not what you do, it's not what you say, it's who you are that he values. And I think that's so vitally important for us to remember, that who we are is what God wants. That's what he wants. And who you are is, you know, you're made beautiful and worthy and beloved because God made you that way. That you don't have to do anything to earn God's love. You don't have to put on a performance. None of us are going to wow him with our eloquence in prayer. You know, the fact is that he just wants us to be present. He wants us to show up. And we're the ones that sometimes make it more complicated than it needs to be.
We have a call from Andrea in Dallas, Texas, joining us here on Morning Air. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Hi, good morning.
What is your comment or question for Danielle Bean?
Well, I just wanted to kind of comment. I was listening to you guys speak, and my time with God is in my garden and just appreciating nature. The birds, I have probably, six birdhouses in my yard. And I mean, just watching the blue jays come and make little babies, all the time in the bird boxes. And it's just, that's my little time away from, you know, the stress and the struggles of day-to-day life. And just appreciating that time to myself in prayer.
Thanks so much, Andrea. Danielle, your thoughts?
Yeah, Andrea, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's a beautiful example of how simple it can be. Something as simple as a hobby outdoors in the garden, making a space outdoors. I really encourage people to make a prayer space outdoors. It doesn't have to be complicated. It might just be your garden, but you could have a bench that you could sit in where you sit and you tend to pray. You know, we're creatures of habit, so if you attach prayer to something like that, spending time in the garden where you feel connected to God and feel connected to the beautiful creation of nature that he created for us and the gift that he gives us through nature. I think that's a beautiful and very simple way to connect with God in a way that's deeply satisfying and as Andrea described, very pleasant. It's not some chore that you have to do. This is a beautiful gift that God gives to us.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your comment, Andrea. Danielle, what's the most unusual place that you've been able to hear God's whispers?
Oh, boy. You know, I think through the years as a busy mom, you mentioned that we have 8 children. They're older now, but when they were little, I was frequently awakened in the middle of the night, whether it was with a baby or with a toddler, and I was always surprised to find that God showed up in those quiet moments in the middle of the night, whether I was caring for a sick child and just rocking them to sleep or feeding a newborn, that it was in those quiet moments that I was more able to see that God is really present in my busy, crazy life in the middle of the day, but it was the same place, you know, the same living room, the same kitchen that I was in the middle of the night that was still and that was quiet. And that really spoke to my heart in a way that gave me a lot of peace to know that God is present there. Even when things are crazy and chaotic and busy, underneath that noise, God is truly present. And it was those middle of the night moments that really underscored that for me.
One piece of advice to a young mom who's listening, who is striving to get closer to our Lord.
Yeah, I would say give God 5 minutes. You know, so many times we say, I'm so busy, I can't pray, or I'm so busy, my life just needs to be a prayer. And it can be very difficult if you're not setting aside a little bit of time. And so, yeah, even if you're a busy mom and you don't have much time, I say give God 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes, and you might get interrupted. That's okay. Go back to it. And, you know, spend that time devoted to connecting with God in prayer. And if you don't know what else to do, reflect on that scripture passage. Be still and know that I am God. And just see what God wants to speak to your heart in those few moments of quiet.
What are you hoping to do? How are you hoping to inspire your readers with your book, Whisper, Finding God in the Everyday?
Well, I hope that every person who reads Whisper, Finding God in the Everyday, will come away encouraged to know that God is truly present and that they can connect with him in meaningful ways that are going to be fulfilling and give them peace and lasting joy. That's what God wants for every one of us. Our relationship with him is not a chore. It's not a to-do. It is a great gift that comes from God himself.
Well, Danielle, it's always a joy to be with you. I so much appreciate your passion, your enthusiasm that comes across here on the show. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too. Danielle Bean, brand manager for CatholicMom.com, and especially a mother of 8 children. And now it's time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Churches Are for Mending Lives by Craig Larson. Jim Corley met his friend Alex at the dealership where Alex worked. "Jim, I feel like a hypocrite every time I go to church because I fail to live for Christ so often." "Well, Alex, what do you call this part of the dealership?" Jim asked, nodding to the area outside his cubicle. "Do you mean the showroom?" "Yes. And what's behind the showroom past the parts counter?" "The service department," Alex said. "Well, what if I told you I didn't want to bring my car to the service department because it was running rough?" Jim asked. "Oh, that'd be crazy. That's the whole point of service departments, to fix cars that aren't running right." "You're absolutely right," Jim replied. "Now let's get back to our initial conversation. Instead of thinking of church as a showroom where image is everything, start thinking of it as God's service department. Helping people get back in running order with God is what the church is all about. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing."
Thanks again, Glenn. Coming up in the next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic attorney and speaker on religious freedom, Mary Helen Fiorito will join us to look back at President Biden's first 6 months in the White House. And Catholic wife and mother, Gracie Jagla, the author of children's books, will be with us to talk about how to establish screen time boundaries with our children. Do stay with us. Next hour, there's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.